Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 35. When the time of her purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too."
Now, while we have spent time looking at that passage, there's the sticker books for the crash kids. There's also a worksheet with a bit of a word search of Simeon's song for any of the older children as well from Explore. So help yourself to go up and grab one of those word searches if that would be helpful. Also, it'd be good to be especially prayerful about this Bible talk. Tristan was meant to be giving this, but literally as we were driving in to 9 a.m. church, had a call to say that Tristan is not at all well today. So I have a copy of his talk, and so I'm going to attempt to help us understand the passage using his notes. I hope we can somehow pull this off. It'd be great to pray. Let's do it. Father, we do want to pray for Tristan. Thank you for the work that he's gone to understand this part of your word, and the disappointment I'm sure that he's feeling in not being able to share it with us. Please give him rest and recuperation. And thank you for this passage. Thank you for just the clarity with which we're able to see Jesus in it. And so help me to be clear-minded. Help all of us to just become aware of how extraordinary your rescue plans to the world really are. Amen. Okay, have a look on the screen. Have you ever seen these sorts of images before? They're called magic eye pictures. Evidently they were big in the 90s. At first glance, or at every glance, it just looks like a bunch of blurry dots and smudges. And yet there is something there if you know what to look for. If you know how to see it, if you sort of focus past the picture, then you can see something else as well. Did anyone else see anything else in that? A couple of people at 9 a.m. Good. I can't. You're meant to be able to see a shark. Yeah. Louise is nodding. Can you see a shark? I don't know. Magic eye pictures. On the surface, they just look like ordinary confusion. But when you know what to look for, if you know what to see, suddenly another picture emerges. Now, Simeon from today's passage may well have been pretty good at these sorts of things, because it's a passage all about him seeing something extraordinary in the ordinary. I mean, here he is, this little encounter within the Jewish temple of this old man Simeon, meeting this new little Jewish family, and yet he saw something. He saw something that was there, but which was almost impossible to see on the surface. But he knew what to look for, and he knew how to see it, and what he saw was breathtaking. It was so amazing that he bursts into song. And it's so amazing and life-changing that he actually says in the passage, to notice that, basically, I'm ready to die now. My life is now complete, nothing more to be had, nothing more needed. So extraordinary is what Simeon sees in today's passage. I wonder what he saw. I wonder if we see the same thing. Let's think about that. Chapter 2, verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, who was a righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. Okay, got the picture? He's sitting in the temple and he's waiting to see something, we're told. The Lord's Messiah. That is the Christ. That's God's King. He's waiting to see the particular King chosen and promised by God in the Old Testament, sent by God to rescue God's people. And he's even been told that he won't die until he sees this King. Now, in all fairness, he's probably not the only one in Israel waiting to see this King. At the time he lived, God's people, Israel, are living under the rule of the Roman Empire. They've been living like that for centuries. Some of the time's been okay, but a lot of it hasn't. They've suffered under cruel Roman leaders. And so Israel, in a sense, as well as Simeon, is desperately waiting. Waiting for someone to throw off the shackles of the Roman Empire and restore the nation to its freedom and glory. Some people have actually tried to do that. Other messiahs have been and gone, but they've all failed. They've all been disappointed. Israel have gotten their hopes up, but they've been let down lots and lots of different times. So they're waiting. We know what it's like to wait, don't we? A lot of our time is spent waiting. Waiting in line at the checkout. Wish we'd been in the faster queue. Waiting for a software update on our computer or our phone. Waiting for the person in the car in front to notice that the light's gone green. Waiting for the passage to arrive. Waiting on the phone on hold. Waiting for the end of the day. Waiting for holidays. Waiting for Christmas. Waiting for terrain. Waiting for just things to get a bit better. That's Israel. That's Simeon here. But he's waiting for something very big indeed. He's waiting for a worldwide, history-changing consolation, is what the passage says. He's thinking of God's promises like this one in Isaiah. Have a look at the screen. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for. Shout for joy, you heavens, rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains, for the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted one. Now that is exactly the sort of consolation that Simeon is waiting for. He's waiting for comfort and tenderness. He's waiting for sins to be paid for. He's waiting for compassion from God that is so great that the heavens will shout for joy, the whole earth will rejoice, and mountains will burst into song. He's waiting for a massive cosmic consolation, a time of relief and comfort. And it's all got to do, remember, with him waiting to see God's chosen King. Because Simeon knows his Old Testament, and he knows that all the way through the Old Testament, God has been hinting and anticipating and promising that it's with his coming King, the Christ, the Messiah, that all that is going to happen. His Messiah is going to be the one who's going to deal with sin. His Messiah is going to be the one who brings him comfort and consolation. His Messiah is going to bring him a kingdom that will never end. God's Messiah, when he arrives, the heavens will shout for joy. The earth will rejoice. It's going to be greater than any other event this planet has ever seen. And Simeon knows it's close. He's not going to die before he sees it. With his own eyes, he's been told, he's going to get to see this Christ. So he's waiting and he's watching. This godly, patient, righteous, devout man. He's waiting to see the king who's going to make mountains burst into song. He's waiting for a king who will bring salvation. And he gets to see it as he cradles a month-old baby named Jesus in his arms. Have a look at verse 27. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation." Simeon looks at Jesus and he sees what he's been waiting for. God's salvation. And all the promises of God, all the hints, all the anticipation, all the longing, all the hoping for that consolation that we just read about in Isaiah, all the things that the whole earth has been waiting for and hoping to explode in joyful song over, it's here in this child. As he looks at this little Jewish baby from a little obscure family, making a sacrifice, which was just the ordinary thing to do in the temple, nothing special. Lots of people would have been walking in there at the temple, wouldn't have even noticed. Doesn't seem like a reason for the planet to burst into song. But Simeon sees what's really going on here. He sees Jesus. He sees God's King. He sees God's salvation. He sees God's love. He sees God's grace. He sees God's plans for the world being fulfilled. He sees the Christ. He sees tenderness and compassion. He sees sins going to be paid for. He sees a once in an all of history moment that changes everything. And he sees at first a child. He doesn't see a self-help guide for self-improvement. He doesn't see an impersonal force. He doesn't see a lucky charm. He sees God's own son. Person. Which is helpful to reflect on because it's showing us that when you're one of God's people, it's not about following a code of conduct. It's not about just having a certain outlook in life, getting better habits, having more positive thinking. Being one of God's people is a relationship with a living person who just happens to be the centre of the entire universe. God's King arrived in this passage as a child, come to save, come to be the very centre of the universe, not just of Christmas, but of everything. And that once we know this child, once we know Jesus, everything else in life just gets put in its proper perspective. Jesus really is the most important reality of every moment, not just Christmas. But Simeon doesn't just end there. He also sees the destiny of Jesus and how it is that this King of God who has arrived and that whom he is craving, he also gets to have a bit of an insight as to how this King is going to bring about salvation and paying for sin. Look at verse 33. The child's mother and father marvelled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul." What an extraordinary thing to say to a young man. If you go to a newsagent and look at the sort of cards you can buy nowadays for new parents, these are the sort of messages that you will read. Congratulations on your little bundle of cuteness. Wishing you and your new baby a fun and exciting happily ever after. Or this little gem with a baby snuggled warm and tight, peacefully you'll grieve tonight. You'll breathe in deeply, close your eyes, and listen to soft, sleepy sighs as everything about the day magically fades away. Clearly written by someone who has had no experience with angels. But when you go through the cards, I don't think you're going to find any that will say this child is destined to cause the rising and fall of the men. You're not going to find one that says this child will be a sign to be spoken against. You're not going to find a card that says, congratulations, new mum, a sword's going to pierce your soul. That's what Simeon said to Mary. The destiny of this little child that Simeon is holding in his arm, this baby's destiny, it's special and it's wonderful, but there's also a level that it's actually terrifying. And as you keep reading through Luke's biography, and he tells us the details of Jesus' life and the things that he said and the things that he did, Jesus polarized people and basically split Israel in two. As on the one hand, many people got to see what Simeon sees here as they see Jesus as the Messiah, the special king sent by God to rescue his people. But on the other hand, lots of people just hated him, especially the leaders. They didn't want a king. They didn't want a rescuer. Their selfish, self-righteous, hard hearts were revealed in the way they spoke against this child grown into a man. They called him a liar. They called him a blasphemer. They stirred up anyone who listened to them. And eventually they got Jesus killed. That's the destiny of this little baby. Pain and suffering. Because he didn't come to save through military power. He didn't come to save through wealth or popularity. He didn't come to make a grab and take for himself. He came to serve. And Simeon says to Mary, being the mother of this child is going to be no fairy tale. This is no fun and exciting, happily ever after. Because one day she's going to have to look at her child nailed to a cross, beaten and naked, humiliated. She's just going to have to watch him die in darkness. A sword will pierce your soul. And he was right, because it's through his pain that this child will bring us pardon from our sin. This innocent child of God will exchange himself for us, the guilty sinners. That's the destiny of this baby we celebrate at Christmas. It's actually the reason why the world bursts into its joyful song, because it's through this that sin has been paid for. And so, like Simeon says in this passage, he actually says once he's seen Jesus, I'm happy to die now. I'm ready to meet my Maker. And when we see Jesus clearly too, we can feel that, because salvation comes to us through what he grows up to do. Tender, compassionate consolation for sins weighed down with sin. When Simeon held Jesus in his arms, he saw a lot, didn't he? And I guess a passage like this is inviting us with the question, well, what do you see? Do you see Jesus this clearly as well? Do you see Jesus the way Simeon saw him? Not just a cute baby in a nice story alongside, I don't know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Santa, but do you look at Jesus and see him for who he truly is? A once in an all of history moment, a king with a kingdom that will never end, a king who brings salvation to the world. And are you ready with Simeon to just peacefully end your life now because of what Jesus has done? I reckon Simeon would love us to see that. Luke certainly would, because that's why he's recorded it for us to read. He wants us to see the reality of Jesus the Christ. Come to save, come to see his birth as the history-defining moment that it is. So do you see it? Have you seen it as this year's gone on? Here we are at the end of the year. How have you gone? Would you say that you are better at following Jesus now than you were at the beginning? If you've seen Jesus clearly, that should be what's happened. But it's not too late here at Christmas time. We do tend to have a little bit of extra time with family and friends. Now's a great time to be encouraging each other in our conversations, spurring each other on to follow Jesus and to see him clearly. Why not take the opportunity over the holiday break to just sit down and read through the Gospel of Luke to get to know Jesus a little bit more, to see him a little bit more clearly? And why not help others in your sphere of life get to see Jesus clearly too, like Simeon does here? Maybe there's a family member, maybe there's a neighbour, maybe there's a friend or a work colleague. Why not just invite them along to our Christmas Day meeting to celebrate Jesus with us? They might say no, but they're not going to say yes unless we invite them. Because what a wonderful time of year this is. A time to celebrate the coming of a king who brings consolation and true comfort and pardon for sin. A time for celebrating with the heavens and the earth. A time when the mountains themselves break into song. The Christ King has come, and he's come to save. Janelle's going to help us reflect on that with a song.